You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Oh, welcome. Oh, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I'm here. And we're going to have another beautiful conversation with Dawn Karima. My name is Dawn Karima, and I am always happy to talk to our guest today because we truly love her and believe in what she's doing, and she's here to help. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is Bethany Johnson. I'm a mom, I'm an educator, I own Bold and Bright Academy in Las Vegas, Nevada, and Bold and Bright Academy Online, which is an online micro school, and I'm so excited to be here again with you today.
Oh, I'm always happy when I get to talk to you, my friend. Oh, we love you, and we appreciate you, and I want to make sure you tell everyone, how can they be involved with Bold and Bright Academy? How can they enroll their learner?
Yeah, they can go to our website at boldandbrightacademyonline.com. We have classes for kids ages 2 to 10 right now. We have live classes, we have on-demand classes, we have printable curriculum. We even have parent courses now if you're wondering how to get started with your homeschooling journey. So they can visit our website and check out our classes and schedule a meet and greet with the teachers. They can register right from the website and get started with their classes.
Beautiful. That is beyond beautiful. I love it. And I would love for you to tell us a little bit about a course that a lot of families have been asking me about because people are deciding to homeschool because of all the sicknesses and violence and different things that are happening in schools. A lot of parents are making that decision, and it's called Primary Pals. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is our class for first graders that will cover all of the first grade standards that they need to know. There's some kinder in there too, some advanced kinders, even some second graders if you're looking to get started on something and you're not sure where to start, they might fit in that class as well. And it will go over all of the standards they need for math and social studies and literacy and science for the whole year while they're meeting new friends and kind of sharing their own world with their new friends from all around the world.
How wonderful. And one of the great things about this class for families that are starting to homeschool is there's a live certified teacher, right? These are live interactive classes.
Yep. Yeah, that's our teacher, Miss Angie, who's great. She teaches a lot of our PALS classes. I teach preschool PALS, and she teaches the other PALS. Our primary pals, they're all going to kind of be the same age, working on the same standards, and they really just get to, it's a small group class, so they'll get lots of attention, lots of talking time, and lots of time to interact. They'll play games, and it's a very interactive class, so they won't be sitting and watching a screen. They'll be up and moving, they'll be talking and sharing and getting to know some new friends.
The beauty of it, I see also, is this is a private school education. You know, mm-hmm. You're getting, these small groups and lots of attention and real friendships being built and your teacher available to you. I think it's a beautiful thing. And I'm hoping that you're going to expand it and keep going forward with other grade levels.
I think we might be, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Every year we've grown and we've expanded our classes, so we may just keep moving up with our students that we have now, expanding the classes and the age groups. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that. And I have had people asking me about it. A lot of the homeschool conferences are going on at this time of year. And so people have been asking. And so I'm so glad you were here to shine some light on it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, people of all kinds, it's time for Potty Training Boot Camp. Miss Bethany is here with us to help us with one of the most amazing challenges or greatest skills we will ever help our learners to face. And I'm so glad you're here. So could you start us off, please? If someone is just making the decision to start potty training right now, what do they need to know? What do they need to do?
They need to start preparing, prepare themselves for this journey and prepare their child for this journey. So you're going to want to start talking about these things as soon as possible. You want to, you don't just want to spring this on them. This can be a scary endeavor for a little one. They've been doing something the same way for their whole lives, and now we're asking them to change things up completely. So we want to make sure that they're prepared for this journey ahead. So get lots of books about potty training, get lots of movies, lots of songs, take out your little potty early if you can. Get them comfortable with seeing it. Get them comfortable with seeing you on the potty and just talking about all the potty stuff. Get rid of your shame around it because you're going to be talking about all the stuff in detail. So prepare yourself. Make sure you're giving yourself grace. Make sure you're knowing that this is a journey that you're both on. You're going to get through it together, even if there's some bumps along the way. We're not going to get angry. We're not going to get frustrated because this is just a skill. You wouldn't just push your kid into the pool and they get mad when they don't know how to swim. We're going to do it step by step, and we're going to teach them. And as long as it takes, that's okay because they all learn at different speeds. So preparation is key. You're also going to get some materials, a little potty, if needed. Some kids go right to the, maybe like a trainer potty, a step-up potty. That's fine, too. A lot of them, that's kind of scary for them to go on the big potty. So you can get a small potty that's a little more their size. A travel potty, because you're going to need that when you leave the house. And for the beginning, you're going to need some cleanup supplies because there will be accidents. You're going to want to set aside some time to be in your house where we're not expecting them to have to do this big new thing in a new bathroom where there's lots of loud noises and sensory overload. We're going to start small in your house. So get the little potty, get the travel potty, get some cleaning supplies, get some fun underwear that your child can help pick, get some loose pants, and that's where you're going to start.
Wow, that is absolutely perfect. I mean, you explained that so well that I'm sure a lot of our friends who are listening who might have been feeling intimidated by this or worried about this, I mean, now it seems like it's doable, right?
It is doable. I promise you it's doable. As nerve-wracking as it can be, you can do this and your child can do this too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, all right. We prepared ourselves, and I think about, I'm a potty pirate, almost memorized, which is a video all about potty training that our learner liked a lot, all the songs mm-hmm. and everything, and you've prepared your books, you've prepared your stories, and, you know, done all the things that are wise to prepare. But today's the day. What happens to actually start potty training?
Today. Mm-hmm. You're waking up and you're telling them exactly what's going to happen today. You're telling them today's the day. We're starting on the big kid potty. We're going to put our pee-pee and our poo-poo in the potty. We're not going to wear any pants today. No pants, no underwear. When you feel like you have pee-pee in your body, we're going to put it in the potty. Pee-pee in your body, put it in the potty. And that's the verbiage, but it's going to take them a little bit to recognize what that feels like because they've been just letting it go wherever, whenever for their whole lives. So they don't really have that connection of, I have to pee, so I'm going to wait until I'm in the proper place to do it. They've been doing it wherever they want their whole lives in their diaper. So this first step is just getting them to connect the feeling in their body that they have to go to the bathroom, and then stopping what they're doing and going to the potty to let it out. And that could take a couple days. That could take more than a couple days. So that's why I say have time set aside where you don't need to leave the house, and you're not rushing around. You don't have a lot to do, whether that's a long weekend. I had a 2-week break, so that was my time to do it. Thankfully, it didn't take 2 weeks for this first phase. It took about 3 days. But you just want to make sure that you're not kind of flip-flopping, going back and forth to, oh, we have to go somewhere, let's put on pull-ups now. That's what you're trying to avoid. So wait to do this until you have some ample time where there's not things that you have to be doing out of the house, because you're going to be pantsless. They're running around pantsless the first few days. Having accidents. That's okay. We're not going to freak out. This is their learning. Their learning phase. So when they do have accidents, when they're pantsless, no underwear, you'll just point it out to them. Oh, you're going pee. Let's put our pee in the potty. You can pick them up and run them over to the potty by then, or you can just carry around the potty with you, which is what I did. So it was always very close. So when I noticed them peeing, I would just pick them up and set them right on the potty. I was just bringing the potty all throughout the house with them. So you kind of want to keep that close so you're not getting trails of pee all throughout your house. And when you see them peeing, because they're not really going to, they don't have that connection yet, you're going to say, oh, you're peeing, let's put that in the potty. Pick them up and put them on the potty. That's the first step, is just getting them to realize, oh, I'm peeing. Now I'm peeing on myself. That's not where we should go. And getting it on the potty. That might take a few days to connect that feeling. Once they've connected that feeling, then you're going to start with some loose shorts, loose pants, no underwear yet, and see how they do with that. The underwear kind of makes it a little harder to feel what's going on. If they pee, it might not, we want them to feel it running down their legs so they notice what's going on. If that's working, you can move on to the next step. If it's been a couple of days and they're still not getting it, you might want to go back to pantsless and, you know, go back to that phase. Don't be afraid to circle back if you feel like, oh, maybe I rushed into the next phase. Let's go back to the no pants phase, because they're still having a hard time connecting that feeling. So don't be afraid to, you know, backtrack a little bit. It may just take another day of them noticing and feeling it to be able to feel comfortable with the next phase. So the second phase would be loose pants, no underwear. They're still doing the same thing. You still haven't left the house yet. You are still in potty jail with them. We're not getting upset. We're not making it a negative thing. We're not forcing them to sit on the potty for long amounts of time. We're getting them to notice in their own body what's happening. And that's you describing the feeling that you get. Oh, I feel it tingling in my belly. I feel it down here. Point it out to them where you feel it. Point it out on their body where they feel it, what that feeling feels like. you really want them to be able to listen to their own bodies so they know what's going on. So you're not just constantly having to fight with them to go on the potty. You want the last thing we're trying to do here is make a power struggle with around the potty, because then that causes all sorts of other problems. And I mean, they don't want to pee on themselves, so eventually, hopefully, they will connect that feeling and want to put it in the potty. And you're gonna, you know, give them praise when they make it on the potty, when they don't make it on the potty. You don't need to, you know, make them feel better about it. You don't need to make them feel bad about it. We are just very matter of fact here. Oh, you peed on the floor. Next time we'll go on the potty. So all we need to do is more of a statement. No judgment here, just statement. You made it on the potty. That's great. You know, make it a very neutral thing, because kids look for reactions, whether it's negative or positive, to kind of gauge their own feelings off of. So if we can stay as neutral as possible, then they're going to be more comfortable around the whole experience. They're not going to have anxiety wondering if they made you mad because they messed up, or waiting for a big praise and that doesn't come. You know, we're going to be very matter-of-fact there, telling them exactly what happened, exactly what we can do next time to make, if we mess up, so that doesn't happen again. And we're just going to keep chugging along as long as it takes. Usually it takes a few days in each phase, I would say, in the pantsless phase, in the loose pants phase. Once they're able to get through the loose pants phase and they're not having accidents that way, then you can do the big underwear introduction. Let them pick out their own underwear, let them kind of see how it feels, help them practice pulling them up, pulling them down, getting them on themselves, although they might still need help with that for a while. Try and have them be as independent as possible from the beginning. Make it a fun thing. What underwear do you want to wear today? Let's put it on. You want to make a little song out of, you put your one foot in, you put your other foot in. Make it as silly and fun as you can. So this is the less stress, the better with all of this.
Wow. This is wonderful. This is just great. Thank you for this terrific information. I do have a question about the loose pants phase. What if you have to go in the car? What if you need, because that's where a lot of parents, I'm seeing them, they're caving. They're like, well, I just put a pull-up on him to go in the car. You know, we had to go to the grocery store. So I just popped one on for the car seat, you know. Okay. Mm-hmm. What do we do?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to avoid. We don't want to give them the confusion of sometimes you can pee in your pull-up and sometimes you can't. And the pull-up feels a lot like a diaper, so that's going to be a very familiar thing for them to, oh, I have this on and I'm allowed to pee in it, you know? That's just their brain has been trained. So when they wear this, they can pee in it. So we're trying to avoid pull-ups at all except for bedtime, because they're not going to be ready to hold it in all night. So that's why we say as much as, and I know this is really hard, especially for single parents, or, you know, if you're kind of working alone, it's going to be hard to try and avoid leaving the house until you kind of have this down. And when you do have it down, you're just doing short trips and you're bringing your travel potty with you. In the car, in everywhere you're bringing it with you. I had a backpack, and I carried that thing around for a year and a half. And thankfully, we didn't have to do that anymore.
Right.
And some parents didn't have to do it that long, but my kid was scared of the big potties for a long time. So we carried that thing around everywhere, and I had the bags in it all ready to go, because they're not going to give you a lot of warning. And there were times where I pulled over on the side of the road, pulled out the travel potty, and went in the travel potty in the car, and then we were back on the road. But you really want to avoid, when they're awake, putting on a pull-up, because it just confuses them. They don't really understand why they can pee in that and not other places. So as much as you can, give yourself time where you know, go get those groceries for a whole week before you do this, so you don't have to run to the grocery store. Or and if you do have to, bring the travel potty, not the pull-up. Try and get them to go potty beforehand, and then bring that travel potty so you're ready to go if they do. Really try and avoid putting the pull-ups on during the daytime after we start this potty training journey.
Okay, that's really wise advice, and I think folks need to know that. It's very helpful. Now, with the loose shorts and the loose pants, the loose clothing phase, what's the most important thing that parents can do to really help? I mean, bare bottom, okay, we get it, right? But when we move to loose pants, those are not diapers or pull-ups. We don't want to pee in our pants, even if they are covering our bottom. So what's the most important thing a parent can do that will help with this loose pants phase?
So you're probably going to under, you're probably going to see the signs that they have to go to the bathroom before they do, especially if they're involved in play or, you know, if they're distracted by anything. So mm-hmm. you can give prompts. Oh, it looks like you have pee-pee in your body. I see you doing the pee-pee dance. I mm-hmm. see you holding yourself. I see you, you know, pointing out what they're doing that's showing you that they have to pee so they can connect that, you know, so they can, that can become a sign for them too.
Mm-hmm.
So pointing out what you see and prompting them quickly to go. And once again, we're not trying to make this a struggle, but you are probably going to see it before they do. So you can bring the potty. Oh, I see you doing the pee-pee dance. Bring the potty to them. Let's get our pee-pee in the potty. I feel it in your body. And so it's kind of, you have to be more in tune with their body than they are in the beginning.
Sure.
And just kind of prompting them to go. And if they go in their pants, you're going to say, oh, we pee-peed in our pants. Next time we'll go in the potty, and you're changing the pants and trying again. That's kind of where you're at in that phase. Like I mm-hmm. said, if they put on the loose pants and then all of a sudden they're just peeing in their pants, you might want to go back. If they're doing that over and over again, you might want to go back to the pants list for another day or two, you know, and just keep mm-hmm. talking them through it, walking them through it. Because uh-huh. sometimes if that area is covered, they're not seeing it, then it may not connect again. So you may need to go back a day, give them another day of pants list. But if not, you know, sometimes they may have an accident or two, and that's okay. You can even get them to, you know, wipe up the initial mess and get them to help wipe up, you know, dry the spot or however you want to get them involved in cleaning up, cleaning up their mess with you as a, oh, let's clean up the mess, you know, not as a punishment, but as a, we made a mess, just like you want to do in any other aspect of life, you know. So you might want to get them involved in cleaning up and just remind them, you felt that this is in your body. When we feel that, we have to stop and go on the potty, sit on the potty. So just kind of, you're just reminding them what's happening in their body. That's the feeling that we need to stop playing and go to the potty.
Very helpful. Absolutely helpful. Now, how do we know when they've reached the point where the loose pants has worked? And the shorts or the whatever you've chosen to wear that's loose and doesn't have underwear, how do we know when they're getting it?
When they're not having accidents, when they're going to the potty. You know, if you put on loose pants and they only make it to the potty one time that day, they're not ready to go to the next phase of underwear. If you put on the loose pants and it's been 2 days and they've only had one accident and every other time they've gotten it in the potty, you may want to try it with the underwear. But it really just depends on each kid and how they're doing. If they're still having accidents all day and they're loose pants, don't move on to the underwear. In fact, you may want to move back. You may want to give it another day. Maybe they just need another day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really going to be individual to each kid. For me, it took a couple days in each phase, I would say. 3 days pantsless, 3 days in loose pants. Then we moved on to underwear. But it's going to be different for every kid.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you explaining this so well. I think it helps so much to hear it and know that you've been through it and you're an expert on it. And so I just want to ask, what if we have sort of a neurodivergent child or a special needs child or a child that just isn't, maybe they don't learn things in a traditional way? What would we do then?
So that might take a little more time. You may just need to, as a lot of things do with neurodivergent kids, some of the things that you may want to do is make something like a picture schedule. Neurodivergent kids are usually visual learners, so you can make something like a picture, like PECs they call it, which is just like picture, kind of step-by-step picture thing. So maybe print out a picture of a kid pulling their pants down. That's the first step. You're going to want to break it down into smaller, simpler steps. So the first picture might be a kid pulling their pants down, and then the second, sitting on the potty, and then the third, the pee comes out, and then the fourth, wipe. And then, so you might want to break it down so they could see a picture of what is supposed to happen each step of the phase. Social stories are really good for neurodivergent kids. You're making up a story that it could have family members or friends or just people that they are familiar with, or, you know, kids in their age that they're familiar with. And turn that into a story so they can kind of connect it to their real life. Breaking down the steps into smaller steps, you know, it's not just, okay, let's go to the potty. It's, oh, okay, let's go to the potty. First, we pull down our pants. Next, we turn around and sit down, you know, just breaking it up into smaller steps. making your wording less wordy, I would say. You know, you might want to, instead of, now we do this and this, you might just say, sit on the potty, let your pee-pee out, you know, like three-word sentences, you know, just kind of making it less, and that depends also on how verbal your child is. Are they able to tell you that they have to go potty? Are they using signs? You know, you may need to use a sign or gesture so they can tell you, or, you know, so kind of tailoring it to where they're at in their own developmental journey. Making sure also that are they able to stay dry for at least 2 hours during the day. If they're able to do that in their diapers, then they can be ready to start potty training. But if they're not able to stay dry for at least 2 hours throughout the day, it might be you might want to wait a little bit, because it might just be that they're not ready yet. And they might take a little longer to even be ready to start the process. But every kid, you know, every neurodivergent kid is at their own developmental phase. If they're, and you know where that is. So if they're signing, then teach them to sign for a pee-pee, you know. If they're talking, then use verbal language, but maybe make it a little simpler instructions, less wordy. Video modeling is good too. There's videos, because if they are visual learners, they're going to, you know, visual supports are always good for neurodivergent kids. So making that picture board. If your child is really good at sticking to schedules and they really need that support of knowing what's going to come next, you can try with making, you know, and you already are kind of in tune with their bodily schedule. You know they're going to have to pee when they wake up, then turn that into part of their day. Every time they, you know, put it on their picture schedule, if you already have one, that, okay, we wake up, first thing, let's look at our schedule. Oh, that's potty time. Let's go to the potty. And just adding those into their schedule throughout the day. And even if they don't go, you know, you don't need to make them sit there for an hour until they go, but getting them used to, this is the time I do this, will may be helpful for those neurodivergent learners who are really schedule-oriented and who need that to kind of feel comfortable. Let's see, what else? Giving them one of their favorite activities. If they are sitting on the potty and it's taken a little while, giving them one of their favorite toys, or even just a new toy that you only bring out during potty time. That could help. That could help kind of distract their brain, so they're not just sitting there stressing about going potty. They're kind of able to relax a little more. If they like things like bubbles, that is also good. They could blow bubbles on the potty. That kind of helps release their sphincter, so they're not clenching. You know, sensory toys, something that's going to make it just a little less of a stressful experience. And then just talking them through it. Those stories are really good. You can even have them join in making a story, you know, having just kind of things that are going to get their mind off it so their bodies can relax. And that's going to be different for every kid. You know, making up a story with mom while they're trying to poop may be stressful for one kid. If you know your kid likes to do that, that might be something fun that will get their mind off of it. So it's going to be different, and you'll know your kid best. But I would definitely say visual support for the neurodivergent learners are going to be helpful. That's what it is, the Picture Exchange Communication System, the PEC. They have, potty training pictures on their website. So you can visit that website and get a whole, step-by-step visual picture of how they're, of everything they need to do. So that might be helpful, too.
Wow! This is great! Oh, I can just feel our friends feeling happy and uplifted just because sometimes when you know what to do, then you know what to do.
Yeah. Oh, this is great.
Oh, thank you so much for this detailed explanation. We are going to go to commercial, but when we come back, we will have so much more with our friend Miss Bethany of Bold and Bright Academy. And so take a minute while you listen to these announcements and look up Bold and Bright Academy. What's the website, Miss Bethany?
BoldandBrightAcademyOnline.com. All the words spelled out.
Perfect. Okay, we'll look for that. While you listen to this, we'll be right back.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play, or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
We are strong and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
What do you think you're doing, Kevin?
I was just going to drive home.
There are several warning signs present that you shouldn't be driving.
Like hearing voices?
Like your text to emoji ratio?
Oh, man, the selfies.
Selfie nailed it.
We all have warning signs that let us know that we're probably not okay to drive. Mine is pretending to be your subconscious.
Craig, come on, man, let's put a ride home.
I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are, but I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see.
D-E-P- Our
mental illness doesn't show up on a scale.
Bipolar?
Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment.
Anxiety. I thought so.
If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety. But with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
I am loving this conversation because I love our guest that's visiting with us today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, I'm Bethany Johnson. I'm the owner of Bold and Bright Academy in Las Vegas, Nevada, and Bold and Bright Academy Online, our online micro school. I'm also a mom and an educator, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. I just love coming on and talking with you and sharing all these things that I've been through to help others and encouraging parents to have the knowledge to be able to feel confident in doing these things.
Oh, how wonderful. You know, helping others, that's why we do what we do. And so I'm so thankful that you're helping us with potty training boot camp today.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Well, we've gotten to we survived the bare bottom. And we did the loose pants. And now what?
Right. So now they're ready to pick out their exciting new underwear.
Yay!
They're practicing, putting them on, pulling them, you know, as fun as you can make it, you're celebrating. They've made it to this point. You're, you know, showing daddy what a big boy you are with your new big boy underwear. And then you're still in the house, though. You're still in the house because we want to make sure that they have this mastered before you throw something new at them. So once they got their new underwear, they're just going to wear it like normal with their pants and their underwear. And you're still going to be keeping an eye on them because at this point, you still probably are realizing their signs before they do. And when you see the signs, you're not saying, come sit on the potty right now. You're saying, oh, it looks like you're doing this, pointing out what they're doing so they can start to realize that in their own bodies, offering them the potty, not making it a power struggle, but you're probably still carrying around that potty with you wherever you're playing, noticing it, pointing out what's happening in their body and helping them do it on their own. Once you've mastered that, once again, it could take a day. By this point, it could take a couple days. It's different for every kid. Then you can start your small trips out of the house. So you may want to start it off by walking to the mailbox. I know in Las Vegas where I am, we don't have mailboxes in front of our houses. We have to walk down and they're all in one big box. So that was our first trip, was just going to the mailbox. And I brought the potty and then we walked back and we made it. That was our first trip out of the house and we didn't go pee in our pants. But I brought the potty just in case, because they're not going to give you much warning. So always have that potty, travel potty, ready to go. And then you're able to kind of start taking trips out and letting them know when you feel it in your body, I have the potty. Just tell me and we'll go potty on our little potty. And some kids, you know, they might not even need that little potty. My niece, I was just talking to my sister-in-law, my niece, she never needed to bring the little potty out because she had no fear of going on the big potty in a public restroom. And that's great. We were not that way. In fact, I'll tell you a little story. We just were on in an airport just this last week. And my son has been potty trained like almost 2 years now and only started using the public big potties like 6 months ago. But he's terrified of the self-flushing potties. So we just got off a plane and we were kind of stuck on the tarmac and he was, oh, I have to pee. And I was like, oh my God, we gotta wait because we're stuck in our airplane flights. And so we finally got off and we run into the bathroom and we get in there and I'm helping him get his pants down. And then before he even gets in the potty flushes. And he just like, he's horrified. Like, no, I can't go on that potty. It's going to flush me. Like, I think he thinks it's going to, I don't know, fuck him up. I'm not sure. But it is noisy. Those bathrooms, public restrooms, you know, it's all echoey. You got potties flushing everywhere around you. You have the hand dryers that are really noisy. And these things are scary for a little guy. So he like refused to go potty on. And I knew he had to go. And I just knew he was going to go to his pants. So I kind of just I put my hand over the sensor, and I said, it's not going to flush. And I just got him to stand up on the seat so he wasn't scared that he was going to get sucked into the self-flushing potty. And we just stood on the seat, and he peed in the potty while standing on the seat. So sometimes you're going to have things like that. And that was my bad, because he's been doing really well going in public restrooms, and so I didn't prepare him because I didn't even realize the self-flushing potties. But anytime you're going to be in a public restroom, giving them as much preparation as you can for what's going to happen. The self-flushing potties, the going to be noisy, the hand dryers, everything around them is, you got to prepare them, because any little thing can cause, like, fear response, and then you may be set back, which is what you don't want. So as much as you can, prepare them for any little thing that could arise, so you don't have this fear that arises. So all it takes sometimes is for, you know, one experience that scares them, and then they're scared to go potty. You're like, mm-hmm. going backwards in steps. So as much as you can to prepare them when you start going out on these, going potty in new places. And like I said, we used the travel potty. I would just go into the big bathroom and take out the travel potty, and he would sit on that for a really long time. So that might be, you know, your best bet. It just depends on your kid. Don't get frustrated with them if you go in and they're freaking out because it's loud. It's normal. Try and put yourself in their shoes. They're a little person. This is a noisy place. They're still not completely comfortable with this experience. So as much as we can, even though it's so frustrating in the moment, because you know that they're going to pee themselves if they don't go soon, try and stay as calm and relaxed as possible, because as soon as they sense your fear, that ups their fear. So if we can kind of control our own emotions in this, it will be very helpful, even though I will say I did not control my own emotions very well in that experience, and I was definitely panicked as he was panicking. And it will happen. We are not perfect. We are going to let our panic take over too, but you know, as much as you can, prepare them and prepare yourself when you go out and you're experiencing these things for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that story with us. I think it's encouraging, because you mentioned a couple of words, and one of them really stood out, and it was celebrate. And I don't know that I've ever heard anyone think of potty training as something to celebrate. I mean, I hear people talk about it more like a chore or a challenge, or, oh, like if I walk into a mom's group and I say, yeah, so-and-so just started potty training, no one says, woohoo, they say, oh, yeah, oh, boy, wow, prayers for her.
Oh, yeah, because it's hard to think of it as a celebration when you're going through it. I'm not going to lie. It's probably the hardest part of parenting in our journey yet with potty training.
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Ours too.
Not this like joyful experience that you're going through. But once you got there, then it's joyful. Once you've made it past all the hurdles, then it's joyful. But it's hard to think of it as joyful when you're going through it.
But I love the idea that we can celebrate, that this is a new skill, right? Just like any other skill. I mean, when they walk their first steps, we're, yay, walking, mm-hmm. oh, wow, mm-hmm. you know. Well, this is a new skill, too. Maybe not such a glamorous one that you want to post on, you know, social media, but this is still a skill, and they're learning it, and you're learning it with them. You're doing it together. And I think this attitude that you're bringing to it is really helpful in remembering that. And so how important is it that our mental health, right, our state of mind is a good one when we're doing this?
It's really important, yeah, because if your kids see this as something exciting and something that you see that they're ready for, they believe you that, you know, mm-hmm. they can do this, their mindset is going to be the same. I can do this. I'm a big kid. I can, you know, this, and we want to be honest with them that this is tricky, this is new, huh? We've never done this before. This is tricky, but I know we can do hard things, you know. You don't need to lie to them to say this is, you know, this easy thing. You can let them know that this is a tricky skill, but they have they're a big kid now. They can do this, and if they mess up, that's okay. We're still cool. We're going to try it again. And when they do have, you know, when they are successful at it, you can celebrate with them. Give them their kudos. You know, that's a big deal. And they're going to be proud of themselves. If you want to let them know that you're proud of them too, and that you see that they're proud of themselves. Like, aren't you so proud of yourself? Look, you did it. You know, it was hard, but now you did it. Just keep reminding them that even though it's hard, even though it's tricky, even though it can be scary, you believe that they can do it, and they'll start to believe that too.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, that happy day comes, and they wear underwear. They're pretty much trained during the day. Yay! Okay, but 12 hours of the day are actually night. What happens now?
So this is when you can put on the pull-ups, because they're not going to, developmentally, they're just not there to wake up and realize they have to go, and that won't come for a couple years, probably. Once again, it depends on the kid. But so you can get out the pull-ups, and you're not going to call them diapers or pull-ups, nothing that they've had before. They may be the same thing, but we're going to call them sleepy underwear now. We don't want them to just associate putting a diaper back on. So get your pull-ups. Mm-hmm. If you want to get some different pull-ups, if you were wearing pull-ups before, maybe get some different patterns or whatever. You know, you can get the favorite character on it or whatever, and just you know, tell them what's going to happen when we put on. When we go to sleep, whether it's nap time or bedtime, we're going to put on our sleepy underwear. And when we wake up, we're going to take off our sleepy underwear and put on our daytime underwear. So you don't want to associate it with a diaper or anything like that. You just want to, you know, that's just another kind of underwear that they're going to be wearing at nighttime. And that's going to be, you're going to be doing that as long as it takes for them to develop enough to be able to do that, to wake up and realize in the night, which could be a while. My son just randomly one day was like, I don't want to wear my sleepy underwear. And he had been waking up dry, so I said, okay, let's try it. And he's never had an accident in the night. And so I think we got free with that. But I know it's taken other people a lot longer. I mean, I know like 6-7-year-olds who are still in pull-ups at nighttime, and that's fine. I've heard doctors say that up until 8 years old, it can be normal to not have that sense of waking up to go to the bathroom. So don't feel discouraged if it takes a little bit for their body to do that. But when you notice that they're waking up from, you know, it may start with naps, that they're able to, when they're asleep at nap time, you know, they're waking up dry every time. Then maybe try just wearing regular underwear for nap time. Or when you start noticing that they're dry waking up in the morning, then you might want to try it, you know, and see how it goes. And if they're peeing the bed at night, maybe go back to the pull-ups. It's not that big a difference. It's not as big a deal going back to the pull-ups at nighttime as it is in the daytime when they're awake and they're aware, and that's when we really want them to be able to stop and go. If it's not working at night, I would say going back to the pull-ups at nighttime is not that big a deal.
Oh, I know someone listening to that is so relieved. You know, we have to respect the bodies, the development, and we do it every other way, right? We have booster seats, and we have stools for them to stand on to reach the sink. We do all these other things in every other area. We respect their developmental stage. Well, we have to do that here too, right? What would you say right now to people who feel like they are potty training failures? Maybe they tried and it didn't work, and now everyone's crying and parents are yelling and everyone's eating, you know, chocolate in the corner, you know, like trying to cope with what's going on. You know, I think it's important that we acknowledge that not everybody just glides through this. This is not, oh, yay. Yeah. I mean, I know all the videos and all of the influencers are like, yes, my child was completely potty trained in just 3 days, every part of it. And some people think, oh,
that's,
I feel
that's
bad.
The normal case.
Okay.
Yeah, don't, I mean, this is not a, your child's toileting ability is in no way a reflection of your parenting skills. So don't conflate the two. This is, you are not in control of their bodies. You know, I forget where I heard it, but there's three things with kids that we have zero control over, and that's what they eat, for how much they eat, how much they sleep, and when they and they're going potty. We cannot force them to close their eyes and fall asleep. Some kids, their circadian rhythms are just not where we want them to be, and they're not going to fall asleep when we want them to. Some kids, they're going to be picky eaters, and we cannot shove food in their face to eat just because we want them to eat, you know, just as we cannot force pee to come out of their body when we want it to. So I think a little bit is just letting go of the control, because we are not in control of their bodily function. And that is really hard, because as parents, you know, we want to be in control. We want to feel like we can handle all this, that this is, we have an answer to all of this. But if you go into it thinking like that, that you are going to be able to get them to do what you want, when you want, with their own bodies, you're going to be sorely mistaken. And especially if you go into it thinking that if it doesn't work on your timeline, then you are failing. This is this is their own bodies, and we are not in control of it, as frustrating as that is. So if you're at the point where you have been doing this a long time and you don't seem like they're any further, you may need to reevaluate, are they ready for it? Has this become a traumatic experience for everyone? Because if it has, they may have not have been ready in the first place, and you may need to kind of do a reset. I normally say once you start, don't go back to pull-ups, but if you're at the point where you never really made it past the, the naked phase in the first place, and you know, maybe you started and you just went right to pull-ups and expected them to, you know, go on the potty when they needed to and not go in their pull-ups, then maybe this, you know, maybe you could take a little break and then start with this method and see if this works a little better. Take a, you know, explain to them that we're going to take a break, and when we're ready, we're going to try it again, and it's okay that they're not ready. But just trying to defuse the situation, because the more it's like a power struggle, the more they're scared, and then you get into, you know, withholding things, which is what we dealt with. So, like, it can cause a lot more problems if everyone is very stressed and scared about this whole experience. So you may need to, if you got off on the wrong foot and it's just kept spiraling out of control, you may need to give everyone a little grace, take a little break, and start afresh after the, you know, the trauma has settled down a little bit. And that's okay. We're all going through this journey together. And if it, you know, you don't want to cause trauma with this. And because kids, this is such a big, you know, thing for them and for parents, it can very easily spiral into everyone being miserable and angry and upset and scared and frustrated, and that's not going to make the process any easier. So I think I would say if you're at that point where nothing seems to be working, then maybe take a step back, kind of reset, and try this method. It may be, you know, they may need a couple months, and especially if you, they say that I think the sweet spot is from like 24 to 36 months, I think they say, only because past 36 months, then they kind of get the no, I can do it, I want to do it, the defiance thing, you know? So the sweet spot, I think, is 24 to 36 months, but the ear kid might not be even ready to sit on the potty before 36 months. So it's so dependent on your child and where you think they are. But if you see that they're able to stay dry for a couple hours at a time, that they're interested in the potty, they're not afraid of it, you know, you've talked about it and they seem kind of excited, they're able to tell you when they need to go, or at least they're able to tell you when they've gone in their diaper. You know, you want them to be able to verbalize or sign or just let you know that they have gone. You know, if those things are in place, then you may be ready to start trying. But if you've already gone through it, I would say take a little step back and try a different method. If you didn't start with this method, maybe take a little break and then try this method where you're going slow and they're doing the pantsless and then loose pants and then underwear. I know a lot of parents go straight to the pull-ups, and that can just be confusing, and then they're wondering why their kid doesn't get it, and that can start the spiral of, it's not working. So that's okay. If something doesn't work, we learn a new method and we try again. But it's in no reflection of your parenting. You know
what, oh, that is so comforting.
The more we try again.
Mm-hmm. Yes, those are good words. Thank you. Those are very uplifting and comforting as well. What do you want us to know about potty training boot camp that we might not already know?
Well, I know I mentioned it on another episode, but sometimes, like for me, when we had our poop withholding phase, it was my husband who was able to kind of get my son through that a little better than me, just because I don't know what I was doing, but I think it was causing more stress on him, because I've had my own stomach issues, and it was just bringing up a whole bunch of stuff in me that I think he was feeling, and it was making him more anxious. So sometimes you're not going to be able to solve it all, you know, and you can reach out for help, whether you have a partner, whether you have a grandparent who stays with them. I mean, even sometimes, you know, there's caregivers that will be able to get through to them that in ways that you won't. So don't feel like you're completely alone in this. Like my assistant was able to get him to use the big potty out in public before I even knew they were doing it, you know. So sometimes just having the support of someone else or giving, you know, giving them a different perspective when yours is all out of whack because what you're doing isn't working, take those gifts because they're very helpful. And also, finding the community, you know, if you're in a parent group and you're struggling with this, just knowing other people that are also going through this can be helpful, because it can feel, especially when it's not working like you thought it would, it's not as easy as you were hoping it would be, and you are feeling that, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with my child? You start getting in this negative mindset. Remembering that you're not alone. There's people going through the same thing all over. This is totally normal. Your job is to help them through these new things, not push them into something that they're not ready for before they're ready. So don't let, like you said, the influencers or anyone, don't let their opinions or views or their journey spoil your own journey. It's different for everyone. Everyone's going to struggle with different parts of this. Like I said, we had to pee down right away. The poop was a nightmare with the withholding for a year and a half, you know, and that took a long time to get over. And like I said, it took my husband helping and me kind of stepping back and him being able to relax more with my husband. And I had all sorts of thoughts about that. And it just took me kind of working through it to realize that that's okay. You know, some things other people are able to, they hear things differently from other people than they do the mom or the dad or. And I see that too with teaching. You know, parents tell me all the time, I try and teach them their letters and they don't even want to hear it. And then they come to you and you know, they know them all. And I'm like, that's normal. You know, they see parents in one role. And when you have to step out of that one role that they're comfortable with and do another role, like teaching them this whole new skill that they haven't had to learn before, that might be, you know, it might set both of you on edge. So, you know, not being too hard on yourself or your kid is really going to be key in this. As soon as it becomes a stressful experience, like a power struggle and you're feeling bad and you're feeling frustrated, they pick up on that so quickly. So doing what you need to do at your pace, however long it takes, asking for help is good. That's what we all need, just as we want our kids to ask for help and support when they're feeling these things. We need to be able to do that for ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, this is wonderful that we had this conversation. Tremendous. I can already tell that many people are feeling better and more hopeful and uplifted and encouraged, and that's what we wanted to do. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
I'm already looking forward to when you come back with some more of your wisdom and knowledge and joy.
Me too.
To all our friends. friends who listen. We love you. We appreciate you. All of our sponsors and donors, and we thank you, Miss Bethany Johnson, for all the ways that you help us and have supported our nonprofit and this podcast. We are grateful. We're very grateful. And we're looking forward to when we're all together again next time. I'll see you then.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.